Stone Cold Locks coming up on Friday at 5:20. I'm putting my list together now as we speak, starting to iron out some things. A little slippage as of late, but it's manageable. 55, 38, and 2 on the season. Still rocking a 59% win rate. So right where I need to be. I just can't let this get any worse. You know, the last couple of weeks, losing records.
Right.
And just doesn't sit well.
You don't want it to affect the confidence level going into games. I'll allow that to happen sometimes, too.
It has. I'll be honest. I don't feel quite as good. I mean, that early quarter of the season, never thought twice.
Yeah.
I
do think that's always the best time to bet in any professional sport is like that beginning of the season. If you have a good feel, because the Vegas still looking for their sample size. They're just going off like last season or what they project going forward. That doesn't always play out to what they have. But once we're in this part of the season, it's like, ugh, they got way too much information.
that is 100% true. I think that's a big part of it. I also think they overcorrect some of the lines because of how big public betting is, and your everyday bettor overreacts so much week to week. When you get to the end of the year, there's so much to react to. I don't think there's quite as much of a swing in overreaction. When a team gets blown out in week two, a lot of people just generally think that team sucks.
That's all we see.
They'll fade them in week three.
Right.
And you hop on and you get some value on a number. You know, by now, it's like everybody's been exposed.
Exactly.
Everybody's looked great. So we're all just confused at this point.
You just get like a lot of big spreads and a lot of pick'ems, and it's like that's no fun. There's no value here. I mean, that's how I look at it anyway. I bet probably differently than everyone, and it's not been very proven science either. But
well, we have a proven science here. It is Florida Bets. We go through all of the lines inside the state of Florida on the football field. We'll start with some bowl games since we're not going to be on next week. We're not going to be able to break some of this stuff down. UCF is playing Duke in the Military Bowl. Duke is a 3-point favorite. That's next Wednesday, December 28th. 47% of the bets on UCF, just 15% of the money. So a lot of money being thrown the way of Duke. And it makes sense. Duke went 8-4 against the spread this year. They're a tough team. I'm still not 100% sure if John Rhys Plumlee plays. And we saw that his backup, Castellanos, not all that great. So if he doesn't play, this is a Blue Devils smash spot. And what I can't tell is, does the line already reflect those guys knowing something? Or is it going to balloon up even further if John Rhys Plumlee doesn't play? Are we going to get to like 5 or 6 on the Blue Devil side?
Yeah, I think it would go up if JRP doesn't play. And, you know, we talked to Raheem Palmer a lot, and he's like, is this player worth this many points on the line? Well, I kind of feel like this player is worth a lot of points on the line because everything sort of stems from him. He was figuring it out as the season kept going. Multi-threat guy, and then just the drop-off, like you talked about, what we saw in that Tulane game. That's not a side I'd want to take if that's what it turns into, the Castellanos game. So everything really hinges on JRP. If he plays and he's healthy, then I'd love UCF in this spot.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. Duke has a responsible quarterback, too. Riley Leonard, he completes 64% of his throws, 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. So they're not going to really shoot themselves in the foot. This one really comes down to the quarterback position for UCF. I would lean Duke as it stands right now, probably the way to be. And also think about where they are. Duke is probably thrilled to bits to be in the Military Bowl. Yeah. UCF has no interest.
I know. Yeah, I never want to take a team that's off weird momentum, no interest, and important players not being involved. So, I mean, if JRP is officially healthy, and I know that right before kickoff, I probably still won't take it, but I would lean UCF in that case. Otherwise, it's Duke.
We have Oklahoma taking on Florida State. That one's right here in our backyard at the Cheez-It Bowl. Florida State's favored by 9.5. This is on Thursday of next week, December 29th. 37% of the bets, 68% of the money on Oklahoma. So big time money coming in on the Sooners.
Weird.
Florida State's offense has been firing on all cylinders. They've won five in a row. The Seminoles have averaged 43.6 points per game over that stretch. Not exactly good news for the Sooners, who allow a ton of points. They're up to like 32 points per game, at least over their last four. They got burned for 51 by Texas Tech. The over-under in this game is at 65, so they're expecting a lot of points in this game. I think Florida State might just run away with it. I've never really been impressed with the Oklahoma team that I've seen out there this year.
Yeah, I'm Florida State, and the only way I would get involved with anything Oklahoma is by taking the over and asking them to score two.
And we might be there in attendance for that
one,
too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. All right. Points. Puntos.
Yes, let's see some points. Let's go to the NFL. We might not have as many on Thursday night. Jags at Jets. Supposed to be some pretty bad weather up in New York. I don't know how much that changes our forecast. I think the easy thought there would be, oh no, Trevor Lawrence, he's plays for the Jags. Just because you play for the Jags doesn't mean you've never experienced cold before. He did play in North Carolina for Clemson, so it gets pretty cold there.
That's mild compared to the Northeast. It gets a little brick up there.
I mean, Zach Wilson's, are we saying that he's the toughest quarterback?
He played in it last week, and he did play okay, and I don't think, even like everybody, I'm a Mike White guy, and everybody's wearing Mike and White shirts and all that stuff, but I don't know like how good he actually is. I think the story of the Jets is the trenches and the toughness and some of the playmakers they have. So I don't want to like overreact, even though I call Zach Wilson a Disney quarterback and I don't believe in him. But I do worry how important the game is for both teams, how important the weather could be for that Jags offense. So I'm rooting hard for the Jags, but it just feels like a weird spot.
They were about to get blown out by the Cowboys last week, and the Cowboys, as they have now been known to do recently, let them right back in it. They're kind of soft defensively. They've got a great pass rusher in Micah Parsons, but they're soft in their makeup. And that is not the case for the Jets. I don't think that the Jags can go down in this game and make their way back, especially if Quinnen Williams plays. He makes a big difference. He's a game-time decision for the Jets. I was going to confidently take the Jets here. Raheem Palmer scared me off of it a little bit because I trust his analysis so much. He's on the Jaguars for this game. I still take the Jets, but it's just not with the same level of confidence that I planned on walking into the segment with.
Yeah, like I think the Cowboys are way more talented than the Jets as an entire football team, but the Jets are solid ball and they do play tough. I think the Jags are going to have to win an ugly one. If they're prepared to grind one out, I think they can do it.
It's a Thursday night game. Usually they're pretty ugly.
Yeah, Thursday night ugly. I mean, I need Lawrence to put up some fantasy points against you in the semifinal here. But
this is just, I cannot ask for a better situation here. Cold weather against a good defense.
I know, that long blonde hair shouldn't mix with the cold in the Northeast. But
he looks like a surfer.
I do kind of, the blonde hair is throwing me off. Like, I'm a Trevor Lawrence guy, but I just, seeing that at MetLife, that ugly stadium and that ugly weather, doesn't feel like it'll go together. In fact, I'll be jumping on a flight. I hope there's TVs. It'd be a great way to pass the time in the air.
For sure.
I can sort of picture Jet fans walking out of that building really butthurt that the Jags just stole one from them. I'm getting that premonition. I'm not always right, but that's what I'm seeing in my head.
I want the Jags to win. I'm just not sure that it's going to happen. So I'm on the Jets. You're on the Jets.
I'm on the Jags.
You're on the Jags.
It hurts, but like, I just picture like Jet fans and sports talk radio in New York erupting after like losing a brutal one to the Lions and the Lions surging up, and then that I feel like they're going to lose a very similar way to the Jags, but there's no real analysis behind it. It's just a gut feeling.
Packers at Dolphins. That one is the 1 p.m. Christmas game. Dolphins favored by 4 in this one, and it is a line that the sharps have been all over. It opened up at Dolphins minus 6, and quickly the professionals out there went, no, we'll take that with Green Bay, and they pushed it down to minus 4. I was looking on a local book, or not so local, minus 3.5 I saw out there also. I love the Dolphins in this spot. You have to tell me if I'm being a homer here. They're back at home. I think the Packers are terrible. They just beat the Rams. Who the hell cares that they beat the Rams? This team struggles to move the ball, And I think the Dolphins are going to be happy as a clam to be back in South Florida after that treacherous road trip. I think they smash them.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, I think the Packers are sort of figuring out who they are, which isn't that great of a team, but they are at least like playing to what they are, and it's kind of too late. But yeah, this is if the Dolphins don't win this game, like something is really wrong, and this season has taken a turn for the worst. Back at home, it would be, what, a fourth straight loss against a really mid team. Yeah, this is where the Dolphins need to kick Green Bay's hopes out of the back of somehow sneaking into a playoff spot, which I don't think would happen even if they do win this game. Yeah, Miami at home, still concerned about the way it's going. I'm not sure what it'll look like, but they got to win it.
Yeah, Raheem Mostert going to look right across the field and see that Packers yellow and go, I remember them. He ran for like 200 yards in a playoff game against the Green Bay Packers. So maybe some positive memories. Bucks at Cardinals. Cardinals are 6.5-point underdogs at home. This one's on Christmas night, and I don't know what to do with that.
Well, Trace McSorley is going to play, so it's got to be the Bucks. Hold your nose and take the Bucks.
Yeah.
And I don't know. The sickest thing is they could like lose this game and still win the division.
It's like crazy.
But like there's no way they're losing to Trace McSorley. That if I was in a Survivor League still in and there's other people still, like it has to be the Bucks. I feel like it's that. How could they lose to Trace McSorley? How?
They don't have to lose. But winning by more than 6.5 sounds like a pretty big ask for this team.
That's a huge ask, but like the Cardinals are in a weird, I don't trust what's going on over there right now. I feel like the Bucks could actually win handily.
This game is gross. I'm not betting on this. I refuse to give an opinion.
That's where you are with the Bucks. I mean, yeah, all it takes is like another fumble or two, and it's like, what? You can't even smoke the Cards? But they got to beat the Cardinals. They just have to.